I would like to begin our shiur here on Yoma Daf Lamed Ches with a conclusion of our discussion about the Lechem HaPanim. Now, the Gemara says that within the context of this very secret methodology of the Bnei Garmo, the Lechem HaPanim lo hisapesh. What is so unique about the Lechem HaPanim that was produced, was baked by the Beis Garmo, that there's no ipush? The chiddush here is what we call avyo. You may remember that the thickness of the dough that's going to be baked in the case of lechem haponim is such that it generates a premature ipush. Somehow, the Beis Garmo knew how to circumvent that problem and avoid ipush despite the ovyo of the lechem haponim. How did they succeed in doing so? The Meiri says that they did it through the process of Rediyas HaPas. They were able to bake the Lechem HaPanim inside the oven, remove the Lechem HaPanim from the oven with a Maisa Rediyah, and they did it in such a way that the Lechem HaPanim retained its viability, its status, its strength, its vitality, and prevent ipush despite the ovyo, that element. Now the reason why it wasn't misapish is all because they were able to heat up the oven inside and bake the lech upon inside the oven. What happens is, in such a case, the heat of the oven enters into and penetrates the entire thickness of the lechem, and that heat is able to preserve the lechem and protect it so that it's not misapish. But when we get to the experts from Alexandria, they heated up the oven on the outside, and they baked the lechem haponim on the outside of the oven. Therefore, there was no direct heat that entered and penetrated into the ovya lechem. And that's why the lechem was not protected. And within a short amount of time, it was misapish. It became stale or disintegrated. So the protection and the prevention of hisapshus depends totally on the expertise of the Beis Garmo in Rediyas HaPas, Rediyas HaLechem, and as a result, Hayucholim Lafoso Bifnim, they baked it inside the oven, and it was a perfect afia ma'ula, but those who didn't know how to do so, they couldn't manage to learn how to do Rediyas HaPas. They had to bake the breads on the outside by attaching the dough to the outside of the hot oven, and as a result, the bread didn't last very long. Now here we have a kasha. Echaya lechem is apish. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Menachos that there were a number of miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash that demonstrated the love of God for the people of Israel. One of them was the Lechem HaPanim. And what was the great miracle of the Lechem HaPanim? Kisiluko, kisiduro kach siluko. I'm sorry. Kisiluko kach siduro. That when they removed it at the end of the week of the second Shabbos, it was as fresh as it was Siduro when they had placed it on the shulchan a week earlier. In other words, the miracle was that the heat of the bread was the same heat a week later. I mean, obviously that defies the law of nature. But if that be the case, then if the heat was there, that should have prevented Ipush. This miracle would have served to protect the lechem so that it would not get stale. It was as fresh a week later on the second Shabbos when they took it off as it was when they put it on the first Shabbos. And this is based on a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perkov Aleph, Lasum Lechem Cham B'Yom Hilachom. Yom Hilachom means on the day of the Siluk, it was still Lechem Cham. It was absolutely fresh. Now, amongst the Rishonim who raised this question, one of them is the Tosfos Yeshanim, which you'll see published on your page if you have the same Gemara that I do. And he writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa nes rak b'meshe eino b'yad ha'odom. He says that if man cannot achieve a certain goal based on natural law, then we have the supernatural miracle. However, le'inyan is apshus, as far as how long the bread would last, again, the heat, there's nothing you can do, even if you're base garu, to maintain the level of heat in the lechem a week later. But you could do something, and that's what base garu were able to achieve within the laws of nature, to guarantee that it wouldn't be as obvious, which would be that if you learn how to do the radias apas and you bake the pas inside the oven, it will not reach the stage of its options. It won't remain hot, but nevertheless, it will not be misapish. So therefore, kevod shel inyan is options efshel lemono b'nei adam is therefore, there's no miracle. And basically the line here is that God's miracle takes over when man's efforts terminate. But within the realm of man's efforts, there is no miracle. The Ritva adds another answer. He says, Maisa Zeh, the miracle that took place in the Lechem Apanim, as described in the Gemara Menachos, Hayu Bizman, Shachayu Yisrael, Osim Ritzono Shalmachim. Aval B'Maisa of the Beis Garbu that we're describing here in our Mishnah, Hayu Bizman Shelo Hayu Yisrael Osim Ritzon Shel Makom V'lo Haya Nes B'Lechem Aponim Lios Cham B'Yom Hilacho Ki B'Yom Hanachos. It's therefore Hutzuku L'Noa Esas Apshus B'Derech HaTev. He says the following. According to the Ritva, there were two periods in Jewish history, and only in one period, when the Jews were on an ideal level, fulfilling God's will to the T, then there was this miracle. After that period of time passed, and we were not loyal and meticulous in our piety, then there was no miracle. Now, we needed, in order to prevent his options, some sort of a natural way, an expert way of creating the lechem upon him, baking the lechem upon him. There was no longer this miracle, and therefore, Hutzuku, they would have to avoid his options to derech hateva, al yidei umas. There's got to be expertise, and the expertise here was only achieved by the base garment. Hanes mayim iskayim kol od shachoy sham konim gidolim tzaddikim vechashuvim. How do you measure osim ritzonim shalmakom, that period of Jewish history? It is measured by the konim gidolim, and they were tzaddikim. They were outstanding individuals. Abel mishiskilu lemanos konim gidolim ayidei mamon. This was a gemara that we learned in the first parak, about a fellow by the name of Yoshua ben Gamla, who was appointed by the king as a kohen gadol because his mother, I think her name was Marta, if I remember correctly, She had a wealth of money. She was able to buy the position for her son. Is at that point, there were no longer Kohanim Gedolim who are Tzaddikim and Chashuvim. Is this Kalkel HaKol? Everything was ruined, and we needed the Beis Gamra with their expertise to salvage the situation of the Lechem HaKohen. By the way, this is not for us now, but Tosis points out there were two individuals by the name of Yeshua Ben Gamla. So if you live on this street over here, which is next to Rabbi Meir, called Yeshua Ben Gamla, you have to assume that the Zionists, when they named that street Yeshua Ben Gamla, they didn't have in mind the Kohen Gadol Yeshua Ben Gamla. So you look at the fine print below the name. Because that guy was not a big tzaddik. They meant Yehoshua ben Gamla, the Gemara Bava Basra, who was singly responsible for the entire educational system that kept Torah alive. That was a different Yehoshua ben Gamla. So make sure if you live on that street that you want to be Zecher Tzaddik Levrach, you want to make sure you have in mind the right Yehoshua ben Gamla. Alright, anyway. Now the Gemara here quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. And that pasuk reads, Kol anikra b'shmi b'chvodi l'chvodi barasiv. Yitzartiv af yasitiv. The Malbim makes a very interesting comment in his commentary on Yeshayahu. It's quoted here in the Masifta. He says, as kol anikra b'shmi, you know, there's anything that relates to the Almighty, meaning to anything that I created, as kol asher barasi l'chvodi, shu kol abriya kula, asher barasiya kidei shizgale al yada kvod Hashem, as kol yitzirasai vasiyasai leman hisgalus malchus Hashem v'yachduso, Shetia b'kibbutz hagolios yosid lovo. And we're talking about the end and the termination of the exile. Hopefully we're in that period of time now. We're about to enter into that period of time now. V'oz yia gilui kvod Hashem hagadol. And that, says the Malbim, tachlis habriyo b'chlol. That is the ultimate goal and the purpose of creation. And that's what the Gemara is quoting over here. So you imagine that the Beis Gamra had this ability to salvage with their expertise knowledge the Lechem HaPanim, and if we add the Ritva, it's Bismacha Enos, it's something that Shalmaka were relying on Teva, and they refused to share that. Here was an opportunity to reveal the glory of God. Now, we remember that we learned in this brisa that the Beis Gamra were rehired at a very expensive price. And the purpose of rehiring them was to make sure that they would produce Lechem HaPanim Shelo Yishtapesh. And of course, it was necessary to know the secrets of the methodology of baking the Lechem HaPanim in order to guarantee that there wouldn't be ibush. However, there is a Tosefta that seems to have a different take. The Tosefta writes that the Umne Uch Alexandria Lo Yodu Lirdos Sapas Mibifnim. This is Lechem HaPanim Mibifnim. Mibifnim means inside the oven. But he says in the Tosefta there's another opinion, Shepitam Haisa Misapeshes, that it has nothing to do with Rediya Sapas. Again, in the first opinion quoted in the Tosefta, this bread itself Lo haya hevdil v'chiluk in the lechem atzmo haya rak b'derech afir. In other words, the problem here, the deficiency, is not inherent in the lechem, but rather in the methodology by which they bake the lechem. And that's the way we understood it until now. So that what we needed the Beis Gavra for was to teach us how to bake the lechem aponim inside the oven and achieve Radias HaPas. According to the second opinion, it sounds like Pitom Hayam Misapeshes, that when the Umnin from Alexandria, the imported workers, with all their expertise, knowledge, they produced the lechem aponim, the lechem itself was a lechem HaMisapeshes. And on the Tosefta, we have a comment of the Chasdei David. I think I mentioned to you yesterday that the Chasdei David was authored by Rav David Pardo. Did I mention that? He was an Italian Jew about 450 years ago. See, he says that there's a principle in all menachos that applies to lechem aponim, shetzarech maisa kli. In other words, that the lechem aponim has to be produced in a kli sharetz. Okay, we had a discussion about the shechita, but in any event, v'chei ha-tanur shayu ofen bo es lechem aponim chaya kli sharetz. He says the following, that a kli sharetz could be mekadesh that which is placed in it if it's placed in the normal way, the normal fashion. You have a receptacle and that's a kli sharetz, and you put something inside the receptacle. But when we come to the Alexandrians, harei afio al tzido hachitzoni shel hatanur, they baked it by attaching the dough to the outside of the oven. Ein zed derech tashmisho shel hatanur. That's not the way we use a tanur in its primary form. El b'shas hadchak, perhaps we could say that if it's impossible to bake it inside the oven, then b'shas hadchak, this becomes a valid method of baking, and although the dough technically is not inside the oven, if I understand the Chasdei David correctly, nevertheless, the Di'eved, because of this pressured situation, we're going to activate the outside of the oven and upgrade it to a derech tashmish of the oven that could be makadish, the lechem aponim din. Kli sharetz. Alkein, adifusam shel bnei garmu hoisa bazeh shafiyosam bifnim bial yedei afiyosam bifnim hiskayim din maisa kli lechatchila. In other words, the process by which we want to be makadish the lechem aponim lechatchila, if all things are ideal, is by placing the lechem aponim inside the oven. So let's just summarize three X's, so to speak, three negative phenomenon with regard to the Alexandrians. One is that as a result of the fact that they didn't know how to do Radias HaPas and bake the breads inside the oven like the Bnei Garmu knew, the chisaron was that as a result, the bread was not baked properly. The second explanation is that the deficiency in the Alexandrians was in the pas itself. And thirdly, we have the approach of the Chasdei David that the chisaron was in the kiddush b'kli sharetz, because that's not the main way that you use a tanur. And now he adds the Eina Yitzchak. He says, Afshahayu Ubne Alexandria. He says, if you take the overall chachma, the knowledge and the expertise of Alexandria, Gedolim Hayu Mi Chachmas Bnei Garmu, the Alexandrians were even greater superior knowledge and in wisdom than the Bnei Garmu, Bechalzos, Lo Yachlu Lechaven Es Afia Kamosa. In other words, according to this interpretation, although as a general overall perspective, the Umnei Alexandria were superior in wisdom to the Bnei Garmu, but in this particular dimension, if we pinpoint the afia of the shtei, of the lechem aponim, in that area, the Bnei Garmu were blessed with a very unique talent. Overall, they were inferior. They didn't size up to the Chachmei Alexandria. V'zeu sha'amru, kol ha'shem bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chvodo bara. That every single talent unto itself is a God-given, bestowed gift, l'chvod Hashem, lo levatol, it's not meant to be wasted. And even though one might add that, wait a second, on the whole, I don't have all these talents, it doesn't matter. Every single talent, in and of itself, can be singled out as a divine, bestowed gift that can contribute, and that's what we have to learn from this sugya. It's a mission Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin. Ki Adam Acher lo yuchal b'shum ofen lahashlim mekomo b'maylam yucheres shelo. When you save a person, and you know we're living in a generation, a time period we need Hatzolah desperately, then you have to understand that the person that you are saving has a unique dimension, a potential that doesn't exist anywhere for anyone else. And that unique contribution is ke'ilu ki'em olamole. Every individual is an olamole because every person is bestowed with his unique contribution and talent that no one can replace. I mean, that's a great chizuk for all of us. You know, sometimes we get a little down on ourselves. You know, we wonder, where's everybody, right? And the answer is that everybody has their own uniqueness that cannot be replaced. I would add a comment to my own here. That's what Avelus is all about. The mitzvah of Avelus means that we recognize that every individual is an olam molek. And no one can replace that person. Once he's gone, that's it. Kavon Alexandria, in the city called Alexandria, Chaya Base Chanyo. This is a mission of Masechta Yoma that after Shimon HaTzadik died, and his son by the name of Shimi was appointed the replacement of the Kohen Gadol of Shimon HaTzadik, his brothers, one of whom was called Chanyo, who again is the son of Shimon HaTzadik, got very jealous. Why was Shimi chosen and singled out as the replacement Kohen Gadol of Father Shimon HaTzadik? Chanyo runs away to Alexandria Mitzrayim, and there were many Jews in Alexandria at that time, and he builds a temple. He builds a mizbeach. That temple lasted how long? How many weeks? How many months? It lasted for 20 years. 20 years. There was a base chanyo, a kind of a migdash, and this enters into the whole issue of what's called bomos, heter bomos. Was there a heter bomos? Yesh omrim shebano l'shem shamayim. Some give credit to Chanyo for building this migdash. Yesh omrim l'shem avodah zarah. That, I don't know why we can't clarify this historically, but anyway, according to some, what went on in this temple for 20 years was idol worship. L'fi ha'deah rishona, nisnave olav Yeshaya ha'novi, this is 19 chapter 19 verse of Yeshaya. He foresee, he prophesied that there would be a Mizbeach to God in Eretz Mitzrayim. And that really reflects the first Shita, that the base honey was L'shem Shamayim. Now, when they imported these workers from Alexandria, they were already experts in many of the dimensions of the Avodas HaKarbonos. Why? Because they apparently served in the Beis Chanya. I'm not sure who they were. I thought they were Goyim. He says, Ba'umnun she'viu mishamayu umnun she'ovdu b'Beis Chanya. I'm not clear. But Nirasha Sibo Lachosi Yecholtam Shal Omne Alexandri Sakos Omne Yushalishtavos, sorry, Li Ume Yushalayim Isabitne Sha'af in Base Kanyu Hail Shem Shamayim Nikomakom Vadai Shalohisabo Kidusha Kikdusha as Base Hashem Yushalayim Ulaman Lo Yazvu Base Israel as Base Hamigosh Viyavru Lahakru the Base Kanyo Heraman Shamayim Shaim Ludamosam Klau. Again, all this stuff is very, very difficult for me to understand. Apparently, the Beis Chanya did have some quasi-status of the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know exactly how that works, because the Torah says, Mokma Sheyif HaShem is referring to Yerushalayim. But the Umin were working in the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak, of Beis Chanya in Alexandria. And you might have thought, and the Jews might have fooled themselves during their 20-year period to thinking that this Beis HaMikdash has the same identical status as the Mikdash in Yerushalayim. It reminds me of another history 500 years ago of Tzfas, you know, where there are many Jews who say, we don't have to go to Yerushalayim. We got everything here in Tzfas. We got the Beis Yosef, Tamari Abuav, we have the Alkermetz and the Orchaim HaKadosh, etc., etc., etc. What do we need Yerushalayim for? So they felt they don't need Yerushalayim, they have the Beis Chanya. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends them a message. He says, you think that you can achieve whatever has to be achieved here in Mitzrayim? No, no, no. Your Lechem Aponim is not going to be the real Lechem Aponim. The real Lechem Aponim is only achieved in Yerushalayim. Now, the only last piece of this whole sugya, in order to complete our discussion about the Lechem Aponim and the Beis Garmo, is the question of how exactly this whole thing evolved. When and how did they replace the Beis Garmo? Reinstate, I guess, or rehire the Beis Garmo. So there's a discussion here based on some sort of manuscript of the Me'iri, which we don't have, about exactly how this worked. So I'm going to leave that, Yirtzeh Hashem, for our next year, because I think it's already getting late. By the way, everyone's invited to a program we have tonight if you want to learn a daf in Masechta Tainus. We're making a marathon siyum on Masechta Tainus, and that begins tonight at 7:30. So let me take this opportunity to wish you a Shabbat Shalom, and I hope to see you on Erev Chag HaShavuos, in Yirtzeh Hashem, B'li Neder, on Yom Rishon. And I'm assuming that we can get together on Yom Rishon. So far, I didn't hear anyone, say they can't make it.